As was announced, the scripture reading is found in Proverbs chapter 11, verse 30. Proverbs 11, verse 30 from the New American Standard Version. The fruit of righteousness is a tree of life, and he who is wise wins souls.
Good to be with everyone tonight. I'm not going to keep you very long tonight. I thought this evening, just for a little while, it's probably time for us to review our plan of growth here at Brown Street. We, of course, a few years back set forth a plan, and we like to keep it before us. Every once in a while, I'll put something in the bulletin about it, maybe an outline of it, just to, again, keep it before us. It has been said, of course, that to fail to plan is to plan to fail. And so if we want to grow, then we need to have a plan. As I suggested, we set forth a plan, and this will be a good opportunity just to review it a little bit. And at the same time, as we go over it very quickly tonight, we can consider how well we're doing with regard to the plan, if we're executing it or not. And I would suggest, even before we get into it, that some areas of it we're doing good and some areas perhaps not so good. And so it's good to get us to remind ourselves of our plan for growth. And really, when we talk about growth, there is many different ways. There are many different ways that we can grow, of course, grow spiritually. We often talk about that and growing in the knowledge of the Lord. But we are basically talking about numerical growth. And it is very important for congregations to grow numerically. I have suggested many times before, particularly in lessons like this, that there are four ways in which all congregations lose members. And that is, of course, number one, death. We don't like to talk about that, but it's inevitable. All congregations experience that. Number two, sometimes members will simply move away. They might get a job. Their job might take them to another state or something along those lines. And then number three, we have some members inevitably that will be dissatisfied with what we're doing and what direction we're going, and maybe will go and place their membership with another congregation. That happens from time to time. Number four, some people will simply leave the faith. And any congregation that is around for any period of time at all will lose members in all four of those ways. And so when you stop and think about it then, if there are four ways in which we can lose members, you know that if we don't grow numerically, that we'll decline and decline and decline to a state ultimately of nothingness. And certainly we don't want that to happen. And so we need to grow. Growth is important. It's not the all-important thing, but it is important. And in order to grow, we need to have a plan of growth. And so we set forth this plan, and it should be on our minds on a regular basis, and we should memorize the major parts of the plan. And so tonight, just for a little bit, we're going to go over it rather quickly. You remember in Proverbs 29, verse 18, where there is no vision, the people perish, but he that keeps the law, happy is he. So again, we need to have some vision. We need to have a goal. We need to have a plan to grow. Well, the first part, of course, of the plan is soul winning. Whenever you think about growing numerically, the only way to do that, of course, is, or the primary way, I should say, is to go out and win souls. Congregations can swell sometimes, we say, by other members coming and placing membership. And we, of course, appreciate when people come and place membership with us. We always welcome individuals to do that who are faithful and good standing with the Lord. But what we really want to do is grow by way of winning souls. We want to baptize folks. And soul winning then is very significant in the scripture that was read to us a moment ago. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he who wins souls is wise. Why? Because that's God's plan. God has always been interested in the salvation of souls. From almost the very beginning, from the time certainly that Adam and Eve sinned, as we read about that in Genesis, the third chapter, to the very end of the Bible, you find that the Bible is a book that is all about the reconciliation of man back to God. And God has always been interested in that. Why did he separate Adam from his family? Why did he call Adam, or Abraham rather? It was because that was a part of his plan. Through him, the promised seed would come, through whom blessedness would come to mankind. Why did he separate the children of Israel from all the other people on the face of the earth? It was the same thing, the working out of that plan. Why did he send his only begotten son to die on Calvary's cross for our sins? It was because he was interested in the business of saving souls. And so winning souls is God's plan. And we see that throughout the Bible. You remember in Psalms 22, verse 30 and 31, it says posterity will serve him. Future generations will be told about the Lord. They will proclaim his righteousness. It is referring to the redeemed there. They will proclaim his righteousness, declaring to a people yet unborn, he has done it. And so we see in this Psalms chapter 22, of course, is often referred to as the Psalm of the Cross, because it deals with Jesus and what he had to endure on the cross. It begins, of course, with Jesus saying, "The Father, why have you forsaken me?" But it ends in victory. And we find at the end of the psalm, it is declared that those who are redeemed will go out and spread the word to other people. In fact, when it says here, declaring to a people yet unborn, that is referring to the fact that the gospel would be preached to individuals from generation to generation. People who are not even born yet will hear the gospel of Jesus Christ when after they are born and they reach that age of accountability and they can understand, they will hear the gospel. How can we be sure about that? Because that's God's plan. It has always been God's plan for the word to be spread from generation to generation. Isaiah chapter 2, verse 2 and 3, "It shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established as the highest of the mountains and shall be lifted up above the hills, and all the nations shall flow to it, and many peoples shall come and say, 'Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us his ways and that we may walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem.'" What a great prophecy. A prophecy of the church being established. That day when people would begin to flow unto God. But how would all that come about? The word would go out from Zion. The word would go out from Jerusalem. In other words, the gospel of Jesus Christ would be preached. That was God's plan. It has always been God's plan. Matthew 28 at verse 19, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit." And that, of course, is the Great Commission. The word "go" there, the Greek word, is in the middle voice. As I've often pointed out in the Greek, that simply means it's referring to action that one takes upon himself. And so the force, really, when Jesus says "go," the force of that is basically he's saying, make yourself go. Nobody's going to make you go. Jesus even wasn't going to come back down after he ascended on high and make his apostles go out and teach all nations. They were to make themselves go. And all these years later, God's plan hasn't changed. He wants to win souls, and he does it through earthen vessels. He does it by those who have been saved. But he's not going to come down and make us do anything. We must make ourselves go. We must understand the wisdom involved in wanting and desiring to save souls. It's God's plan. It's important. Paul understood the significance of it when he said, "For if I preach the gospel, that gives me no ground for boasting." You're not doing anything you can brag about. When you become very active in evangelistic endeavors, you can't brag about that. You're not doing anything but what God expects of you. And so Paul says, there's no ground of boasting, for necessity is laid upon me. Woe to me if I do not preach the gospel. And I understand that in this context that Paul was called to preach the gospel in a way that was unique and a way that doesn't really apply to us completely. He was an apostle who was under the divine directive to give his life over to the preaching of the gospel. But the fact of the matter is, there is a part of this that is true with regard to every one of us. Woe unto us if we do not preach the gospel, because all of us are commanded to be fishers of men. We must be involved in soul winning. Ephesians 4, verse 16 says, from whom the whole body, being fitly and held together by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. Why do we look at that verse? All those other verses had to do with evangelism, had to do with winning souls, the gospel being spread. Doesn't seem like this verse is talking about that. It's not. But here's the point. If we're going to be successful in our plan of growth, if we're actually going to win souls to Christ and grow numerically, we need the majority of the local church to participate. It's the only way our plan or any plan with regard to growth will ever work. It won't work if just a couple of people are participating. We need as many members of the congregation to get on board with the plan, and when it comes down to winning souls, to be evangelistically minded and do your part to win souls to Christ. And Paul emphasizes here how that every joint must supply. That every individual part has to be involved in the working. And that's what we want at Brown Street. I know, and everyone knows, there'll always be some who just won't participate. That is always the case in every congregation. But don't allow that to be you. You make up in your mind you're going to be a worker. That you're interested in the growth. You're interested in the future of the Brown Street Church of Christ. You want us to succeed. More importantly, you want souls to be saved from a devil's hell. And so you're going to be involved in this business of soul winning. All right, well, getting down then to the plan, how do we go about soul winning? Most of you should have this down by now. We want more people to visit our services. How do we accomplish that? Number one, by the passing out of the cards. The little cards that we have that fold up, most of you have those. All of us should have a few of them in our pockets or purses, and we should carry them wherever we go. And you remember, with those little cards now, you give them to individuals that have an interest in spiritual things, who demonstrate in some form or fashion that they have a religious inclination about them, and you invite them to Brown Street. And you recommend something about the Brown Street Church of Christ. It might be the singing. It might be the loving members. Whatever it is. Maybe there's good Bible class teacher. Whatever it is. Now, whatever you tell the person, make sure you're telling the truth. Don't say something you'll be ashamed of when they show up. But recommend the Brown Street Church of Christ. I believe that there's a lot to be recommended about the Brown Street Church of Christ. Give them a card and say, you ought to come. We have wonderful classes for your child. Maybe they have a little child with them. We have good teachers to teach your child the truth of God's Word. Your child will enjoy the Bible class. We have good song leaders. We have good singing. We lift up our voice in song. We simply sing praises to God. You ought to come and listen. But commend something to them. Now, listen, when it gets right down to it, it's a numbers game. That's why we need every member to participate. We haven't said anything that not every single member of Brown Street can do. We all can do this. You can all carry those little cards and pass them out and recommend the Brown Street Church of Christ. And when you have 170 people doing that, then you're in good shape. There's going to be some results because it's a numbers game. And so we all need to participate. If we have two or three members doing that, you're probably not going to see a whole lot of results very quickly. And so we need everybody to participate. Of course, we go into the community to knock on doors. That's what we do every Saturday. How's that going? We've done pretty good with doing that. We started off with a bang. Now the groups have dwindled down just a little bit. But we knew that was going to happen, didn't we? We said in the very beginning that was going to happen. I think I probably said something like I'm no prophet, but I can predict that this is going to happen. because it always, always does. In any local congregation I've ever been a part in, you start something up and everybody's excited and a lot of people participate, and after the months go by and years go by, it dwindles a little bit. But we can't give up. We want to be an evangelistic congregation. We want to make sure that we continue to go out on Saturdays, and whatever group that you are a member of, if you're a member of Group 6, that's my group. Be here next Saturday, 9:45. We want the entire group here. And not everybody can go out into the community, but there are other things that we'll look at in just a second that you can do, certainly. But as many people who are well-able, physically capable of going out, we certainly want to do that. Now, let me just say in passing, as I have told you before, this aspect of our plan of growth is as much for us as it is for the people in the community. The truth be told, you're not going to win a whole lot of souls by knocking on doors. We call that cold calling. But what that accomplishes is it allows you and me to fulfill our duty in preaching and spreading the gospel of Christ. We're fulfilling the Great Commission. Don't ever forget, the Great Commission is not optional. It's not something you can just, well, I think I might do it, but I don't really want to do that. It's a command. It's a command that's just as serious and just as demanding as baptism, as any other commandment you can think of. It's not optional. And so you're blessed, we're blessed to be in a congregation that one, and you don't have to go out, but every 6 weeks, but you have the built-in opportunity to fulfill the Great Commission. All you have to do is show up and go out. We're out for about an hour, maybe an hour and a half at the most, and we're done. And so we hope that we can keep that going and fulfill the Great Commission. And if we can win just one soul doing that, if you can talk to just one person behind one door who ends up coming to services and obeying the gospel of Jesus Christ, it's well worth it. It's worth it if no one obeys the gospel, because we're doing God's work. But if we can win just one soul, we can be excited about that. Now, what we want to do then is move them from that stage into a home Bible study. The purpose of passing out the cards and going and knocking on doors is to get a stronger visitation flow. Now, we've been blessed. The last couple of weeks, we've had a lot of visitors. But generally, we don't have as many visitors as I would like to see. We want to increase how many visitors that come our way on a given Lord's Day or a Wednesday night or whenever. And so that's the purpose. That's what we're really aiming for when we pass out the cards, whether it's door knocking or the little trifold cards. Because the fact of the matter is, it's really, once we get them here and they can come and check us out, if we can then get them into a home Bible study, then we have a great chance of winning them over to Christ. Home Bible studies are very useful, successful. A lot of people who get in home Bible studies obey the gospel of Christ. It is hard sometimes to get people in a home Bible study. But you get them into a home Bible study and you have a great chance to convert them. But we need more home Bible studies. So our goal is to get more people here, and then we can eventually get them into a home Bible studies. When they come, you can invite a visitor to your home after service. We will talk about hospitality in just a moment, just in passing. But remember now, we introduced this some time ago. How are you doing with this? How many times have you invited individuals who have come our way and visited with us over to your house, or take them out or whatever after a Lord's Day morning service? That's a great way of introducing yourself to an individual or a couple or whatever the case may be, for them to start feeling comfortable, and they have a great chance then of coming back. Now, after they come back for a couple of times, then you can get them into that home Bible study that we crave, that home Bible study that's so successful. So the plan is then get more people to visit, and you don't, the first time someone comes into the door, just jump on them, just pounce on them and say, hey, you want a home Bible study? Yeah, that's not really the approach. Now, nothing's written in stone, and every situation is different, and once in a while, someone may come in, and you can just tell by their conversation, they might be looking for something like a home Bible study. Okay, then you do that. But generally, you want someone to come and visit us, begin to become a little bit comfortable with us. If they come two or three times, you know, they're really interested. Now we can ask them for a home Bible study. And then once we get him into that, we have, again, a great way of winning souls. And so that's the plan. Make sure that you carry your cards. Make sure if you're in a personal work group that you are participating in that. And again, if you're well able to go out, that you go out with your group. Then we want to keep our converts. That's very important. We have, over the years, made mistakes with regard to that. We have baptized a lot of people, and then we just sort of ignore them, and they're babes in Christ, and they end up falling away. If this is about growth, sustained growth, then we need to not only baptize folks, but we need to keep them faithful to the Lord. And so we need to keep our converts. We need to offer a new convert class, study with the new Christians. We've done pretty good with that. Ron has taught a good new convert class, and it's gone well. I've spoken with many of those in the class, and they always appreciate the class. So that's a good thing. It's a great, they're away from the auditorium. That's a little intimidating, and they're back in a smaller room with a smaller group, and that's a good way to pay attention to the new converts. That doesn't have to be the only thing, though. Certainly, when we baptize someone, we need to develop good relations with the new converts. And whenever we baptize someone, the best approach to that is if you happen to be of the age of the individual who has obeyed the gospel, if you're in that age group, you don't have to be the specific age, obviously, but if you're in the age group, you're probably the one that can connect the best with that new convert. And so if we baptize someone who is 25 years old or whatever the case may be, if you're in that age group, you pay close attention. We should all pay some attention to him or her. But if you're in that age group, you make sure you go over and talk to them every Lord's Day. You try to set up something. You can get together with them, with some other Christians, whatever the case may be. But you develop a relationship with them. It's a lot harder for the devil to get his claws into somebody, to a new convert that you know he wants to snatch back out into the world. It's harder for the devil to do that when that person has developed a relationship with other Christians in the local church. And so we want to pay attention to our converts. We want to keep them after they're baptized. And let me just say in passing, that's hard work. And you want to know the truth of the matter is that we lose at least 50% of the people that we baptize. At least. It's probably more than that. You just stop and think of the baptisms that we have had even over the last couple of years. And how many are still here? Some of that might be because we don't do exactly what we ought to do. A lot of that is just because some of the circumstances of life in the world is so powerful and strong and alluring, and it just draws people back. But I'm saying it's hard work to keep the converts. And so we need to do that on purpose. It's not something that's going to happen accidentally. All right, the second part then, that has to do what we've just talked about is soul winning. That's how we're going to grow numerically. We have to be involved in soul winning. But if we're going to grow and thrive as a congregation, we need to develop relationships within the congregation. 1 Corinthians 12 at verse 25, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. The same care one for another. We give thought to each other. We're on each other's minds. We develop a relationship with each other. But as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you, for yourselves are taught of God to love one another. And indeed you do it to all the brethren which are in all Macedonia. But we beseech you, brethren, that you increase more and more. We looked at that passage this morning. But love within a congregation. I have never seen yet a congregation that was growing numerically, that was thriving, that wasn't a close-knit congregation. One of the things that you see in all congregations that are successful is that there's a lot of love within the congregation. There's relationships that are strong and real and genuine within the congregation. And so we need to develop that. Let brotherly love continue, the Hebrew writer said. How do we accomplish this? Make a commitment to know every member. Not, again, the easiest thing to do when you have 170 members. And so we need to do that on purpose. It might take some time. There's some that we all know some members more better than other members, but we need to start, all of us should make up in our mind, it's going to be my goal, my purpose, to know every member. And so again, it's not something that happens by accident. Be hospitable. That's one of the ways you can do that. And I know that that's not the easiest thing to do. I know that we're all busy. We all work hard and we don't have a whole lot of time and so on and so forth. But hospitality really is very necessary with regard to any plan of church growth. And by the way, let me just put this up in passing. Hospitality is commanded. It's a part of being sanctified. It's a determining factor in judgment. Hospitality is important. We can see by these next couple of things. It is a qualification of an elder. A widow must be hospitable in order to be taken into the number. God cares a little bit about hospitality, doesn't he? Now, in order to fulfill the part of the plan I talked about earlier, when we have visitors, you invite them into your home. That takes some hospitality. That takes some work. That takes some effort. But that's what we need. We need that not only with the winning of souls, but we need it even with developing relationships amongst ourselves. We need to spend time together. Plan more congregational get-togethers. How are we doing with that? Remember, it was about 2 years ago that we first implemented some of these things and set forth this plan. Are we doing any better? Are we getting together more congregationally? Spending more time together? That again, I know we have a shortage of hours and that sort of thing, but we need to keep that before us and try to do those things that will help us draw closer to each other. All right, number three, we keep each other focused on the plan. We do that in part by every once in a while preaching on it, putting it into the bulletin and that sort of thing. But even amongst yourself, we should all be keeping each other focused on this plan. The plan will work. We'll reach people if we're passing out the cards, if we're trying to draw closer to each other, if the personal works are going strong and people are attending and people are participating, the plan will work. But we need to keep everyone focused on the plan. Remember what Jesus said? It says, and Jesus knew their thoughts, and he said to them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. We need to be united with regard to this plan, with regard to our future, with regard to the goals that we have to grow and to be the best church that we can possibly be. We all need to be on the same page. Paul said, fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. There shouldn't be a member here at Brown Street that doesn't want this congregation to grow and thrive and succeed. And so we all need to keep our focus on this plan. How do we do it? Establishing personal work groups. We've already done that, of course. We have 6 personal work groups. And once again, how are we doing with regard to that? I mentioned earlier that the numbers are declining a little bit with regard to these groups. Let's redouble our efforts and encourage whatever group you're in. You look on who's in your group and you encourage those perhaps who aren't attending the group meetings or who aren't coming out on Saturday. Give them a call. Encourage them in a kind, compassionate way. We want to encourage each other because we want these personal work groups to continue going strong. Now, several things we'll just mention in passing and then that will be it. What are to be accomplished by these personal work groups? Facilitate our door-knocking effort, of course. Now, I know that a lot of people think that's it. That's why we have the groups, to go out and to knock on doors. Well, that's one of the reasons. But that's not the only thing we do with these personal work groups. We encourage, of course, everybody to participate when we're there and together. And we can of course, remind them of things, remind everyone to carry the cards. It's a good time to reinforce within that particular group. The group leaders can specifically ask the people in that group, are you carrying the cards? How many of you have a card on you right now? And we can just reinforce that. And of course, also, we call or send cards to each missing member. The personal work groups aren't just about going out and winning souls who have never obeyed the gospel of Christ, but it's also to help us keep up with every single member. And we need every group doing their part. If every group every week are sending cards to those who are missing services, nobody falls through the cracks. And that, of course, is what we want. And we want everybody to participate in that. So, that's our plan of growth. Just a reminder of what it is. All of these things you have heard before. Again, we presented it before, and we have put it in the bulletin from time to time. And every once in a while, I'll just do, as I've done tonight, a quick review of the plan. We have to have a plan in order to grow and succeed. We want to reach our full potential as a congregation. I have said many times before that it is almost impossible for that to happen. I don't know of any congregation that reaches its full potential. In order for the Brown Street Church to reach its full potential, we would have to have every single member doing absolutely everything they can do to serve God. Well, there's probably no local church that does that. But we need to strive for that. That needs to be our goal. And as individuals, we need to make up in our mind, I'm going to be a real participant in it. So let's keep the plan before us. And let's go forward and grow and thrive. We have a great congregation here. We have good elders who oversee the flock. We're blessed to have elders. A lot of congregations don't have elders. We're blessed to have that. We're blessed to have deacons. We're blessed to have a lot of individuals who can teach and who do a good job in classes and who can lead singing and do all those kinds of things. We have good, strong families with a lot of children. There's a lot to commend about the Brown Street Church. But we don't want to take anything for granted. I've been saying we have 170 members. Listen to me. We're down to 170 members. If you think in times past, I don't know what the years would have been, but some 10 years, maybe 15 years ago, you probably had 250 members. 170 sounds good, but don't forget, we're down to that. We want to turn that around. We want to get back to 250. We want to win as many souls as we possibly can. And we want to be a loving, growing, thriving congregation. But we all need to participate. Let's keep the plan before us. You're subject to the invitation of Christ. Maybe you haven't obeyed the gospel. Mark chapter 16 at verse 16. Jesus said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." It's wonderful that the plan of salvation is so simple. That wasn't done by accident. God did that on purpose. Because God wants all men to come to repentance. He wants everyone to be saved. And so he's made the plan simple. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? If you believe that he is that Christ, that he has the words of eternal life, if you're willing to be buried in the waters of baptism for the remission of your sins, you can be saved this very night. Don't leave this building in an undone condition. If you're a child of God and you have drifted away, you need to repent and pray God. Ask him for forgiveness. If you have sinned publicly, get it right publicly. Let us know about it so we can pray for you and encourage you in any way that we can. But obey the gospel. Do the right thing. Do it right now as we together stand and say.